David Baldacci published his first novel, Absolute Power, in 1996. A major motion picture adaptation followed, directed by and starring Clint Eastwood. Since then, David has published 28 best-selling novels, several of which have also been adapted for film and TV. A lifelong Virginian, David attended Virginia Commonwealth University. After graduating from the UVA Law School, he began his law practice in Washington, D.C. David and his wife, Michelle, established the Wish You Well Foundation to support family and adult literacy by fostering and promoting the development and expansion of literacy and educational programs. In 2008, the foundation partnered with Feeding America to launch Feeding Body and Mind, a program to address the connection between literacy, poverty, and hunger. Today, we'll speak with David about his new title in his John Puller series, The Escape. Welcome, David. It's great to have you back with us on the Book Report.
Thank you.
The action in The Escape starts right on page one. Can you give us a brief overview of the story?
Yeah, Robert Puller is in DB, the disciplinary barracks. It's like the most maximum secure military prison in the country. He's there for national security crimes, and he escapes from DB, which is inescapable, and does so in a pretty unique way. It takes advantage of an opportunity that presents itself. His brother is John Puller, who is an Army criminal investigator, and John Puller has been in a couple of previous books, Zero Day and The Forgotten, and he is brought in because he knows his brother so well, and brought in to try to hunt him down, so it's sort of brother against brother in this novel.
Right. Well, John's brother Robert is a genius in next-generation nuclear weaponry. How much research did you have to do to write it so convincingly?
Yeah, I did. I always do a lot of research for the books. When you're dealing with something as complicated as nuclear weapons, you really have to leave most of it out, otherwise you're going to lose your audience. So that and the intelligence field and all the criminal databases and hacking and all the other things, I really touched on all of it as deeply as I could without turning a novel into a textbook. The key with, you know, doing research for a novel like this is you leave 99% of it out, and you'll use a phrase here, a sentence there, a bit of a description in a paragraph here or there, just to give people a real flavor and a veneer of authenticity, and then move on with the story.
I wanted to ask you, you wrote this, there are nearly 1,300 government organizations and 2,000 private companies in over 10,000 locations spread across the country, employing close to a million people, all holding top secret clearances or higher. Is that for real?
Oh, yeah, that's totally for real. It's, you know, if Walmart were an intelligence agency, I guess that's what they would be. People they employ, for the most part. It's one of the biggest employers in the country, and it's taken very seriously by lots of big players, not just government, but the major players in this, the Raytheons of the world and the Northrop Grummans and the Lockheed Martins, Boeing. They're huge players, huge, you know, multi-billion-dollar companies. And there's a lot of money to be had here. It's intensely competitive, and people take it very seriously, particularly after 9/11.
What about the Cyber Command? How did you get that information?
Yeah, I know a lot of people in the military, and so I interviewed a bunch of them for this novel to get as much as information as I could to make the novel, you know, feel very authentic. It wasn't like I was ever asking for any classified information. These agencies are public for the most part, and what they do for the most part is public, but talking to people and seeing how they do their jobs, how things actually work out in the field, is very different from the just sort of Wikipedia-ing stuff, Googling something. You know, anybody can do that, but going out and interviewing people who actually do it, I think really separates, you know, this story from a story where somebody just Googled it.
Right. I got to be a big fan of Veronica Knox. Can you introduce us and talk about your process for developing an important secondary character?
Yeah, Veronica was quite the conundrum. She's an enigma in this book. And John Puller, his judgment kept changing on her. You know, was she legitimate? Was she a friend? Was she an enemy? Was she an ally? Was she a foe? And, you know, he came to where he wasn't able to really trust his judgment about her because she's very good at what she does. She's in the intelligence field. She has really great cover. She has a set of skills that most people would look on and say, gee, that's really, you know, bad for a human being to do that, but really it's the skill set she needs to survive in the world that she's chosen to work in. And they really are very much oil and water throughout the course of this book. But I love the dynamic of two very different characters having to come together to reach a common goal, but doing it in far different ways.
Zero Day was the first John Puller novel. When you were writing it, did you know it would become a series, and were future adventures already formulating in your mind?
I had foreshadowed the payoff in The Escape. That was Robert Puller's imprisonment. You know, why was he there? What had he done? Was he actually guilty? And was he going to be in prison the rest of his life? So that was really set up very early in Zero Day. I think the first scene you meet John Puller, he's going to visit Robert Puller in prison. So my hope was that this would become a series as I was writing that first novel, and it turned out to be the case. And I'd forgotten Robert Puller was in that for a little bit. Long distance, obviously. He was still in prison. But I knew the escape, obviously, and you can tell from the title, this was going to be the payoff to that foreshadowing of Robert Puller's story in Zero Day.
We're speaking with David Baldacci on The Book Report. Can you talk a little bit about Face Off, your involvement, and the finished product?
Yeah, that was cool. I mean, I've been a member of the International Thriller Writers Organization for a long time, one of the founding members. And from time to time, we do these anthologies where we have our members come together to write short stories and do anthologies, and those books are then sold, and those funds go to run the organization. And this one was a little bit different in that we wanted a bunch of our members, writers, to take their iconic, key series characters, like Harry Bosch and Michael Connelly, and put them into stories that they co-write with another thriller writer. So you might have Joseph Fender and Lee Child matched up, and Michael Connelly and another writer matched up with their characters in that story doing something together. Never been done before. That's why where the title Face Off came. It's like these two characters were facing off in each short story. So it was really cool, something we had never done before. I got to edit it, which was an easy job for me. Obviously, these people are terrific writers. I didn't have a whole lot of work to do, but it was great publicizing it. I did an audio introduction for the audiobook version of it and wrote the introduction for the hardcover, and just a lot of fun. People really loved it. It sold incredibly well, and just something you don't see every day.
Right, and hopefully will there be another edition, like maybe one a year or one every other year?
Oh, we'll continue to do those, absolutely. It was so popular that I don't think there's any way we can't not do another one.
You also write for young adults. Tell us about that.
Yeah, years ago when my kids were small, I wrote the Freddy and the French Fries series. It was really young kids, illustrated books. Last March, The Finisher came out, which is my young adult fantasy that I spent 5 years writing. And it was sort of, kind of like my Lord of the Rings and Hunger Games and Harry Potter rolled into one. And Scholastic published that in March. I actually sold that book to Scholastic under a pseudonym. They didn't even know it was me, because I wanted them to buy the book for the book, not because of the name. And hit number one. It sold incredibly well. It's won a number of awards. And I just recently finished the sequel to that. It'll be out next fall. And I'm having a blast doing it.
Do you work on more than one book simultaneously?
Yeah, I just finished two books. One was the spring thriller that'll come out in 2015. And then the other was a sequel to The Finisher. And I wrote both of those books in parallel. I would spend half the day on one and half the day on the other.
Hmm. In your writing life, do you have any long-term goals that you're working towards?
It's a long-term, short-term goal. It's just what's the next story.
Okay. Tell us a little about the Wish You Well Foundation.
My wife and I started it 15 years ago and pumped a lot of money into it. Illiteracy is a huge problem in this country. Half the adult population reads the two lowest levels of literacy. We have a million high school dropouts a year. Socioeconomically, they're doomed. And when I first started my career, I did a lot of events sponsored by libraries and Friends of the Library and literacy organizations, so I got really steeped in that area. So we fund literacy programs across this country, and we have a board of directors. We get probably 5,000 grant applications a year. We fund as many as we can. We funded programs virtually all 50 states and counting. We also have a Feeding Body and Mind program where I go on book tour. I send boxes ahead. My fans fill the boxes up with lots of different types of books, and those books are shipped to local area food banks. So people coming in to seek food assistance often have low reading skills, and that's why they're impoverished. Getting books in the hands of those people, into their homes, into their kids' hands, is a way to break that cycle of poverty and that cycle of illiteracy. And over the last 4 years, we've collected and shipped out over 1 million books.
Wow.
And continue to do so.
That's amazing. Congratulations. Do you have any final thoughts about The Escape?
Yeah, it's, you know, John Polo rocks in this one, and there's not a lot of downtime. And when I go back and reread this book, and there's just a lot packed into it, as my editor told me, there's enough in there for three books. But I just wanted this book to be, you know, a really great finale to this question of Robert Puller that I had opened up in the very first book, and wanted to make sure that I put everything into it I possibly could.
Well, you've succeeded brilliantly. Thank you so much for joining us today, David.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Bye.